Last week we began a short three-week series that we've called Reasons for Hope in a World of Fear. And as you and I navigate our way through life, through this world that is filled with complexities and problems, and as we are constantly moving into an unknown, uncertain future, we began asking the question last week, is there anything at all that can give us true, lasting hope and comfort in it all more than just another positive thinking book? Last week, we began looking at the first of three things that God has provided to us to give us hope in a world of fear. And last Sunday, the first point we considered was that we can have confidence in the absolute providence of God. Confidence in the absolute providence of God. Knowing with certainty that whatever happens in the world at large and whatever comes into our lives personally, we can know with confidence that it has first come through the hands of a good, loving Father. And even though whatever it is coming into our life may seem bad, we can have absolute confidence in the providence of God. Today we want to move on to the second of those points, and we want to talk about having comfort in the promised presence of God. Not just confidence in the absolute providence of God, but comfort in the promised presence of God. If you have your Bible, open it please to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And I want to read a few verses starting right at the end at verse 16. Now the setting here is that Jesus has finished his earthly ministry. He's getting ready to ascend back to heaven to be with the Father. And he's giving final instructions to his followers. I'm guessing these are going to be pretty important words. We pick up in verse 16 of Matthew 28, and it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Have you ever seen that? Those are three huge words. I've often wondered about the story behind those three words. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible gives us tiny snippets of all that happened. The last verse of John chapter 21 says, if all the things that Jesus did were written down, I suppose the world would not be able to contain the books. I've often wondered about those three words. Some doubted. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age," or the very end of the world. It's that last phrase that I want us to focus on in our time together today. Surely I am with you, or as the old King James says, lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I have no doubt that those of you who are parents have experienced what we experienced numerous times when our kids were very little. I can remember so many times in the summertime when Caroline and Nick were small and they would be playing out in the backyard in the afternoon. They would be called in for dinner. And we would have dinner and the sun would be setting and I would look outside and as it was just about to get dark, I would see that they had left some toys in the backyard. And so after dinner, I would say to them, "All right, kids, you need to head out in the backyard and bring your things inside." And I would always sort of be smiling to myself because I knew what was going to happen. And so by now it's dark. And these two little kids would walk to our back door, and our back door is not solid wood. It has glass panels all the way down it. And these two little kids would be standing there peering through these glass panels out into the darkness. And I would sometimes just sort of quietly walk into the other room and just wait for it. And inevitably, I would hear, "Daddy?" And I'd go, "Yeah." And they'd say, "Can you come here?" I'd go in, I'd say, "What do you need? Would you go with us?" And I would say, you know, I'd mess with them a little bit and say, "Why? What do you want? What do you need me for?" "We just want you to go with us." And you've been there as parents, right? And so I would say, "Sure." And I would open the door and we'd walk out into the backyard together. And now they were skipping and singing and laughing as they gathered up their toys. No fear whatsoever. What made the difference? Did I suddenly make the sun shine again? No, here's what happened. I was with them. I was simply with them. And my presence brought comfort to them, even though it was still dark outside. My presence was with them, and they felt no fear. And I would say to you, if children can find comfort in the simple fact that their flawed earthly father is just with them, how much greater comfort is ours knowing that Jesus has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always to the very end of the world." One year as I was reading through the Bible, I noticed a theme that I had never seen before. I was not looking for it. I was not studying for it. It just sort of rose up out of the scripture. It was an amazing thing to me I had just never picked up on. I noticed throughout the Bible that God longs to be with us. Never seen it before. He longs to be with us. From cover to cover, we see this. Everywhere we look, we see a God who does not sit aloof and distant and detached in the heavens. We see a God who makes constant attempts to come and be with us. It's an amazing revelation. Don't turn to these. Let me just read some very quickly. Exodus 29:45. This is God speaking. "Then I will dwell among them and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them." Leviticus 26:11. "I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people." Ezekiel 37:26. "I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Literally, from Genesis to Revelation, literally, it's not an expression here. From Genesis to Revelation, we see this God who is making constant attempts to come and be with us. In the garden, the Bible tells us that God would come down in the cool of the day and he would walk and talk with Adam. And then Adam and Eve chose to sin. And what did they do? They do what mankind has done ever since that day and what you and I continue to do when we sin. We try to hide. The Bible says that Adam ran and hid himself from God. What a foolish notion that is, isn't it? And God came down in the cool of the day, as usual, in Genesis 3:9, says, God spoke these words, "Adam, where are you?" By the way, God didn't ask that question because he didn't know where Adam was. He asked that question because Adam didn't know where he was. "Adam, where are you?" And what God is saying is, "Adam, I miss my time with you. I want to be with you." and you just continue to turn the pages through the Bible, you see this theme all the way through, all the way to the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21:1 says this. Listen to this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Okay, we're at the end of the Bible. We're talking about the last great things that are going to happen. You want to hear the next verse? And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. Wow. It's still on his mind. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. How blessed we are to have a God who longs to be with us, because he knows that without his presence we are helpless. We are empty shells of what he created us to be without him. That is why God constantly reminded people that he was with them. It's a constant theme when God is talking to people. He reminds them over and over again, I am with you. Here are a few. Just in case you think I'm making this up, let me just share some. In Genesis 26, Isaac's father Abraham had died. And Isaac, he finds himself in a really tough place in life, and he's up against all kinds of trouble that's being stirred up against him. And he's worried and perplexed. And in Genesis 26, 24, it says this, that night the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, comma, why? For I am with you. Period. Isaac had moved to a different place. He was a stranger in the land. And what comfort that brought to him to know that even though he was in a place now where he was not able to get along with any other people at the moment, God came and simply said to him, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Throughout the account of Joseph's life, we remember all the trouble that he endured over the course of his life. And the Bible says again and again, if you read through that story, you will find this phrase, and the Lord was with Joseph. It appears over and over again. When God called Moses to free his people from slavery, from Pharaoh, we looked at Moses a couple of weeks ago. What was God's answer when Moses said, I'm not capable of doing that? God said to him in Exodus chapter 3, I will be with you. Now, if that were me, and God had just called me to go and stand toe-to-toe against Pharaoh and say, let my people go, and then lead all those millions of people out of there into the promised land. If God had just given me that assignment and I said to him, I'm not capable of doing that, and the only answer he gave me was, I will be with you, I believe I would have been craning my neck forward and straining my ear going, and there's something else I'm sure you want to say? No. I will be with you. Yes, but surely there's more. You see, we tend to think there's got to be something more significant God could say to us. But there's not. I will be with you. When spoken from the lips of God are the most significant words you and I can hear after our salvation. You're not alone. I will be with you. And from that day on, Moses learned to depend so completely on God's presence, realizing he was powerless without it, that years later, when they're getting ready for the next part of the journey, Moses says to God in Exodus 33:15, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, please do not send us up from here. So you go from this guy who begins saying, I'm not sure that's enough for me to go on, to a guy saying, Lord, if you're not going to be with us, don't send us anywhere. And when Moses died, the intimidating task of leading all of those people fell squarely on Joshua's shoulders. And his first assignment was to cross the Jordan River at flood stage and go and conquer the mighty city of Jericho. What now? This is day one for me? And as God lays out these plans for Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, he says to Joshua, now you, and he fills out the plans. What is the one thing that God follows up that daunting assignment with? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And again, four verses later, God repeated himself. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I think of David, the great king. David knew the presence of the Lord. He wrote about it so beautifully. He delighted in it. He found strength and comfort in the presence of the Lord. In fact, David came to understand the presence of the Lord so deeply that after he committed the awful sin with Bathsheba and he was found out and his entire world was crumbling in upon him, here's what David said in Psalm 51:11, do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You know what David is saying? He's saying, God, do anything to me. Do anything you want. Punish me in any way you want, but don't take your presence from me. Later in David's life, when he's speaking with his son Solomon about building the temple, after they had gone over all the details and all the blueprints for the construction of the temple, what advice do you think David gave to his son out of all the advice he could have given him? 1 Chronicles 28:20, he said, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. God called Jeremiah to be his prophet, but he was afraid to go. What words did God speak to him to reassure him? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, God said, do not be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you. Is anybody starting to see a theme? Daniel was thrown in the den of lions for refusing to obey the pagan king. It was God's presence with him there that was life. And when his three friends were thrown into the blazing, fiery furnace, so hot, heated multiple times more than normal, so hot that when the guards got near it, they died from it. And yet these three men were thrown into the fiery furnace. And what does the king do? He rubs his eyes and he looks again and he says, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24 and 25, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the fire? Yet I see four men walking around, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. Wow. It was God's presence with them that made the difference. On and on we could go. The whole Old Testament is filled with this glorious truth, and it leads us then to the time of Jesus' ministry. He'd been with his disciples all these years, and it comes time now for him to ascend back to the Father. The passage that we read this morning, his earthly ministry has come to an end. And he's now turning over the entire future of his ministry to these disciples. Okay, do we remember the biography of these guys? This is not the brainiest bunch. This is not the bravest, most faithful bunch of men you could find. And he's getting ready to turn over the entire future of his ministry to these bungling idiots. And what does he say to them? He gives them this impossible assignment. Impossible. Go and evangelize the entire earth. Have a nice day. That's his assignment. Except he didn't leave it there. Wouldn't it have been an awful thing if Jesus has said, go evangelize the whole earth, and then ascended to the Father? But he added that beautiful verse at the end. How are we going to do this? How are we going to accomplish this mission? Surely I am with you always. And that's the very news they needed to hear. That wherever they went, whatever they encountered, Christ had promised to be with them always, empowering and enabling them to carry out the task he had given them. It's important to know these words, I am with you always, were not spoken by some random rabbi trying to pump up his guys, but yet unable to back up this promise of always being with them. These words were spoken by the Lord himself, the one who in verse 18, don't ever leave verse 18 out of the Great Commission, please. Don't ever just look at verses 19 and 20 because everything finds its power from verse 18. Jesus said in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Church, I'm telling you, this is a precious truth that Jesus wanted his disciples to grasp, to understand its power, its glory, its comfort, its hope. He's saying, I am the one who sits on the throne on high, who rules over all things and every moment of every day. I am the one who will be with you. And it's precisely that same news that you and I need to hear today. It's that same news. We don't need the latest self-help book. We don't need Oprah's life classes. We need to know that the one who sits enthroned on high, to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, is the one who is with us. That's what we need to know to find comfort and hope in this world that's gone mad. Paul wrote about this in multiple places. In Romans 8:11, he said, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. The same Spirit. I wonder how much of that power we take advantage of. The same Spirit. He said in Ephesians 1, 18 to 23, listen to this. This is a pastor's heart's cry for his people. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Can you just hear Paul in that moment? Another one of these, he just sort of bursts into song almost, saying, I want you to know the power that is yours if you are in Christ, and to live as though that makes a difference. whatever circumstances may come our way to intimidate us, please listen. God is with us. He is with us. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. As we watch the news and fear begins to creep in of all the things we see going on in the world, we can know that He is with us. When heartache or suffering comes into our lives and we feel overwhelmed, He is with us. His promised presence is the thing that will comfort us in a world of fear. This is why David was able to write in Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." Period. This is a beautiful truth. David's saying, okay, here's the worst thing I can think of. This literal scary place that shepherds had to take their flocks through to find greener pasture, the valley of the shadow of death, a terrible, frightening place. David says, as a shepherd, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because I'm a tough guy? No. He's with me. And this glorious truth was not just true for the Old Testament and New Testament believers. It has been true for every child of God throughout the ages, and it is still true for us today. History is filled with examples of men and women who experienced this. John Patton, the great 19th century missionary to some of the savage South Pacific islands, his wife and infant son died shortly after his arrival on the island. And he endured tremendous trials in all the years that he was there. And a long time after all of those experiences, he wrote these words. Listen to this. "Trials and hairbreadth escapes only strengthened my faith and nerved me for more to follow, and they trod swiftly upon each other's heels. Without that abiding consciousness of the presence and power of my Lord and Savior, nothing in the world could have preserved me from losing my reason and perishing miserably." His words, "Lo, I am with you always," became so real that it would not have startled me to behold him as Stephen did, gazing down upon the scene. It is a sober truth that I had my nearest and most intimate glimpses of the presence of my Lord in those dread moments when musket, club, or spear was being leveled at my life. If you go to see his grave in Australia, the inscription on his tombstone reads, "Lo, I am with you always." I think of David Livingstone. He took the gospel to the most remote parts of Africa at the risk of his own life. And after serving faithfully there for many, many years, he was invited one day to come and speak to some students. And as he walked up to speak, one arm hanging limply by his side, the result of being torn by a lion, and his face wrinkled and leathery from years of being destroyed in the African sun, the students stood in absolute silence as they heard him say these words, "Shall I tell you what supported me through all these years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this: Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." How could David Livingstone, in the face of all he encountered, give such witness? It is because he understood, he believed in, and he staked everything upon the promise of God, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the world." Did you hear what I just said? He didn't just believe in. He didn't just understand. He staked everything upon those words. And I would say to you, the joy, the comfort, the power that you and I experience in this life will be in equal proportion to how much we not only believe in this promise, but in how much we live like it is true. The joy, the comfort, the power that you and I will experience in this life will be in equal proportion to how much we not only believe in this promise, but how much we live like it is actually true. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm telling you, church, if we really believed those words and lived as though they were true, it would change our lives. As children of God, we can find great comfort in knowing that whatever we face in life, we are never alone. We have His promised presence with us always, enabling, empowering, and guiding us and comforting us to the very end. It's not in the latest self-help book that we can find this hope. It's not in the latest Power of Positive Thinking course. I'd rather be around positive people than negative people. Don't get me wrong. But it's not in those things that we will find comfort in the trials that we go through in life. It's not in those things. It is in this one promise. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If we have to deal with a terminal disease, surely I am with you always. When we face the loss of a loved one, surely I am with you always. When friends turn their back on us, surely I am with you always. When we're called by God to serve in a difficult place, surely I am with you always. When our greatest plans fall through, surely I am with you always. In a world that seems out of control, surely I am with you always. He has promised to never take His presence from us. He will never leave us, ever. This is extraordinary love, the likes of which we have never seen before and will never find in any other place or person or pursuit. Never. Whether in good times or in bad times, God will never leave us. Whether we're soaring in the clouds or our life is falling apart, God will never leave us. And listen to this one. Whether we are pursuing God or running from Him, He will never leave us. Psalm 139 says these beautiful words, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Oh, the love of God. To know the depths that His love has gone to not only rescue us, but to sustain us in every moment of life, whatever comes. No one will ever find greater love. I close with these beautiful verses from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to this. The words of God. "Can a mother forget her baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." Did you know that your name is tattooed on God's hand? It will never be rubbed off. It is there for Him to look at every moment of every day. What a beautiful thought. God says, you know, it's hard for us to stretch our minds around the idea of a mother nursing her child and then throwing her child away. And yet, have we not seen these stories on the news from time to time that rip your heart out? And we wrestle with this. How in the world could a mother abandon or even kill her own little innocent child. God says, hey, even if you see that happening as incredibly impossible and bizarre and unlikely as that seems to be, you need to know, I will never leave you. I will always be with you. Folks, I'm here to tell you, these two great truths that we've considered last Sunday and today will go a long way in bringing us hope in a world filled with fear. Confidence in the absolute providence of God and comfort in the promised presence of God. I pray that today you will find comfort in His promised presence. Regardless of what you're going through in life, He is there.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. Of my